Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 365, stanzas 1 through 4. From the depths my prayer ascendeth unto God on high. Hear, O Lord, my supplication and my cry. 1 through 4 of Psalter 365.
scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the book of Romans and thereof chapter 7. But first we read the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Romans chapter 7. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no more adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that, being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. For then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin thus far.
Let us try to pray. Lord of heaven and of earth, we have just heard out of thy holy word of all that lived within the heart of thy servant. He was converted by thee. He was stopped by thee. He was turned by thee. He was drawn by thee. And yet he had to confess that in his own heart dwelled no good thing. Who can stand unscathed and blameless before thy judgment just? Then it is the same case with each and every one of us. Only we need to know it in our hearts. And we need to be taught it from above. Oh, we beseech thee that thou may instruct us also as thou hast instructed thy servant. For it is the only way and that we can receive the salvation in thy only begotten Son. And wilt thou then lead us into that awful truth, what we have done in our father Adam, and show to us that we have a heart and that is a son of Adam, and that there is in us nothing that can be reformed unto thee, and that we need to be born again, and that we need to receive a new heart. Lord, it is a work that is a powerful work. It is a work as the resurrection from the dead. It is a work that cannot come from the side of a dead person. It is a work that thou wilt do as thou sittest at the right hand of power. It is a work that is a fruit of thy work, because thou hast a people that will be that are given unto thee. They also must be drawn in. They must be drawn to come to thee in a way that they can be received by thee. A people that thou canst wash, a people that thou canst cleanse, that thou can give everything that they stand in need of. O Lord, that we may be brought by thee in such a way to thy blessed footstool, and that thou would strip us, Lord, and we will never give it over ourselves. O, we do not throw away our righteousness, and we do not throw away our goodness and our strength. And there is no man that will give his own life, but thou sayest, he that will save his life shall lose it. And he that shall lose his life for my sake, the same even shall save it. Oh, that it needs to be wrought by thee. Lord, we beseech thee for that work, for us and for our dear children, because the time that is hastening quickly away, oh, we see it all about us. Man, he is going to his long home, and the mourners, they go about the streets, and one after the other, both young and old, and they are receiving those callings that are in accordance with thy holy word, and that in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And that our life that is but as an hand breath, it is as a vapor that comes and soon it disappears. O Lord, then the grass that groweth, but the wind bloweth over it, and soon it is gone. And so our life, whether we live to be 100 years old, oh, that is but a moment in comparison to that great eternity. And we are but fools in our father Adam. And we have chosen that wide, that broad way, and that leadeth unto destruction. Oh, then we go about to enjoy all the pleasures of this world. Lord, thou knowest our wretched and our sinful hearts. Oh, that thou would stop us upon our way, and that thou would open our poor blind eyes. It is thy holy day, and that day that thou settest aside in a special way, and that thou may work that no man can do, and which thou wilt receive all the honor and the glory for. O Lord, that thou may draw us, then we will run after thee. Oh, and there is one that is so steeped in all this world and has come up in this afternoon hour in thy house only by way of form and by way of custom, and has a desire that we would finish this service. Oh, that has a desire that they may go about this world once again, and that is looking for the Sabbath to be gone, and that they may set forth wheat. O Lord, that thou may stop, that thou may come with thy Spirit, and that thou may arrest the man upon his journey, his short journey here below, and that thou may say unto us thus far and no further, and that a man may come upon his knees before thee and say, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Lord, we beseech thee, and that thou would do it for thy great and for thy holy name's sake, and in this week of preparation for thy holy supper. Lord, thou knowest all the hearts of each and every one. Oh, then it can be, and that in this afternoon hour that a man has said, I am already finished with that examination, and then it is so clear in my life. Oh, then it is so clear that I am outside of that kingdom of God, and that I have not what is necessary for that great eternity. Oh, that thou may fill then with a desire. Oh, that thou may fill with a cry unto thee, the Most High God. And that thou may begin with us. That thou may show us the truth concerning ourselves. And that thou may bring in the inner chambers before thee. Oh, that thou may work at those desires. And that love for thee that a man cannot and will not give unto himself. Lord, we beseech thee, and that we may experience that power, that irresistible power of thy Holy Spirit. And wilt thou look upon young and old together, be with our youth and our children. Oh, they say perhaps in this day, oh, that is now for the people of the Lord. That is for my mother. That is for my father. And that is now for all those who are adults. But Lord, oh, do give. And that in the hearts of the children, that grace may already be planted. Wilt thou bless the means that are used by parents and by the teachers in our school. Oh, that thou may also bless the many labors that are put forth in that place. And in these last weeks, wilt thou give yet attention unto the children, diligence and faithfulness in all the labors, and thy blessing upon it. And wilt thou remember us also when decisions must be made in the near future concerning the direction of our own school. Lord, that thou may help, and that thou may show us the way to go, and what is the most profitable. And wilt thou help all that are involved therein from day to day, and the school board and all those that are laboring for and in our school, and that thou may look upon our young people when they are attending universities. Lord, that thou may give help also in all the ways in this life, and that a young man, a young woman in this world may see all of the corruption and the vanity, and they desire that portion that belongs to the people of the Lord, and that thou may look upon us as parents, do show to us how to bring up our children in that true and tender fear of thy holy name, and that thou would lead and instruct us that we may instruct others. Remember all those that go before within thy church over the length and the breadth of the whole world. Thy servants, all the elders also in a special way, and when they must lead in the vacant congregations, Lord, that thou may also bless those labors, and that thou may give more to serve within thy church, and that thou may look upon us in mercy as a denomination, when we may hear and when we may read of all that thou hast done unto our fathers, how that thou hast granted true conversions, and that thou hast led us sometimes deeply into thy truth, then we must say what we do miss in our days. Lord, then as thy servant and thy children, oh, that we may be led by thee, oh, that we may be taught by thee, that we may be instructed by thee from step to step, and that we may be able also to speak and to instruct others. Lord, lead us into all thy truth. Remember all that are persecuted for the sake of thy name, also the beloved for the Father's sake. Thou knowest also that a hatred that is in the hearts of many in this world for the Jewish nation. But Lord, that thou may turn it about, and that thou thyself may watch over and protect them, and that thou may bring them again to acknowledge thee and thy only begotten Son. Remember our nations wherein we do live, these great nations in the midst of this world, which have so debased ourselves as we do wallow in the ways of sin. Lord, then it is only right and it is only just, when thou wouldst completely withdraw thy hand, to permit us to go on in the way that we have chosen, and to continue to choose day by day. Oh, that we may receive rulers that may fear thy name, and that thy word may be brought upon the judgment seats also, and that we with our children may be kept from choosing the ways of this world, to follow all the customs of the world which are evil, and against thee and thy holy word, and that we may be given to walk and to choose a holy and a separate life, in the fear of thee, and not being able to step over a straw. Lord, that thou may keep us in all thy ways, and that our consciences may be made and kept tender before thee, and that we may feel our need to be washed and cleansed and forgiven of all of our many, many sins. Remember all that are in the prisons, the innocent and the guilty, all that lie in the hospitals, and all the misery and the pain that is experienced in this life. Be with all first responders in the dangers that they sometimes come into, and all those that care for others, doctors and nurses and all that care for others in their homes. Wilt thou supply in all these things? Lord, remember us all together. Those that are not able to gather with us in this day, in the hospital, or that are in their own homes, that they may listen by church telephone perhaps. Lord, that thou may grant them also a blessing there, and that thou would be unto them there a little sanctuary also in this thy holy day. And wilt thou be with us also, when we are together in thy house, and that thou hast said thou hast loved the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Oh, could it be, and that we may feel and experience it also in this afternoon hour, and that where two or three are gathered in my name, And there am I in the midst of them. Lord, that we may feel it in the speaking, in the preaching, and that we may experience it also in the hearing. Oh, that we may be given to hear, and that our heart may be open, that we may attend to the things that are spoken of Thee. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 325, stanzas 1 through 4. Teach me, O Lord, Thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart, that I may steadfastly obey. Give me an understanding heart. All the stanzas of Psalter 325, and the last collection today is for the Calgary Loan Repayment. congregation, we ask your attention in this afternoon hour for the third question of our Heidelberg Catechism, in which it can be found in Lord's Day 2. Lord's Day 2, only question 3. Whence knowest thou thy misery? Answer, out of the law of God, which speaks of the knowledge of our misery, which we wish to consider in two thoughts. First, the necessity of this knowledge, and second, the source of this knowledge. The knowledge of our misery, first, the necessity, and second, the source of this knowledge. Whence knowest thou thy misery, last time? And then we have considered what our fathers have spoken concerning those three things that are necessary for us to know, and that enjoying real, enjoying true comfort, we may live and we may die happily. That is, in short, misery, deliverance, and gratitude. Thus, the first of these three, that is misery. And we said, what kind of knowledge is that? That is a knowledge by experience. That means that a man must know, that a man, he must feel. And if a man will feel and will experience something of the deliverance that is in Christ, then it is so necessary, first, that a man is feeling that he is experiencing something of his misery in Adam, the rich young ruler. Was he a miserable man? He was, you say, just like every other man in this world, because he was a son of Adam. And yet he didn't know what the plague was of his own heart. And it was for this reason that the Lord Jesus sent him away. And he sent him away that he may go and that he may learn what that wretchedness was that was living within his own heart. He had come to the Lord Jesus with a request. We read of the thief on the cross that he also came with a request. Lord, he said, remember me. Did the Lord Jesus send that man away that he would learn something of his wretchedness? No, then it was not necessary to send that man away to learn anything anymore, because there had come room in his heart, and that was evident in his confession. That was evident in the very request that he has made to the Lord Jesus himself. The promise of deliverance, that is a promise unto the miserable. And a man is not able to appropriate that promise unless he is hearing his own name in that misery. That is impossible. Otherwise, it is spoken not to me, it is spoken unto my neighbor. Otherwise, the blessing is not for me, but that blessing that is for my neighbor. And I can try to steal it, but everything that I steal, that has to be returned. Congregation, if only. If only that we could learn. If only that we could experience our misery. Because that is now the only thing that is standing in our way. The Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Therefore, you are not forgiven. Therefore, you are lying yet in your sins. It is because you say, we see. There is a plenteous salvation. His grace that is, we sing, wide as the ocean. That salvation that is so free, that is without money, that is without price, that is not of works, lest any man should boast. There is nothing standing in the way of as a restriction for any particular people from entering in. The Lord, He has shown unto Peter in that vision, that sheet descending from above, wherein He has seen all manner of unclean and four-footed beasts. And then Peter was instructed, and that he should call nothing unclean that the Lord has cleansed. And so Peter has said that he has received instruction from the Lord, that the Lord is no respecter of persons. And so that has gone further than that Jewish nation we have heard in the weeks gone by. And that way has been opened unto every nation in this whole world. What is now standing in our way? What is now standing in our way? Do you know what the Lord said to that church of the Laodiceans? He said, because ye say we are rich and increased with goods, and ye have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and poor and blind and naked. There is, congregation, no salvation outside of Christ. But who is He? He is the deliverer of those who are miserable. And then it is self-evident that there is no man that will come to Him, as we have heard in this morning. No man that will come unto Him outside of knowing in his own heart of his wretchedness and of his misery. Christ says, the whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Why did that minister teach that Highland Kitchen maid that prayer? Lord, show me myself. Why did that come first, children? Because that minister understood that he knew what was the first knowledge that was necessary for that little girl. And if you will go, young people, and listen in the world that is around us, even in that Christian world that is around us, then in general, we do not say everyone, but in general, you are going to miss something. Do you know what you will miss? Did you ever hear it already? Then you are going to miss that a man becomes a sinner before God. It is the most awful mistake that a man can make to skip over that first part. It is actually a fatal mistake. Bunyan spoke about those who climbed over the wall and who pretended that they were in and that they walked along with God's children. But in the end, they were shut out of the kingdom of God. Oh, if only we could learn, if only we could experience our misery. Because if we could experience our misery, then there would be hope. Then there would be an expectation. But if we do not, there is no hope. How can we learn it? Is that your question? That is now what our fathers address next. Because they say, in the first place, this is what we need to know. We need to know, in the first place, what our misery is. But then, naturally, the next question comes into our mind. Well, how is it then that I can come to know what my misery is? Whence knowest thou thy misery? Congregation, has this ever become your question? Whence knowest thou thy misery? How can I come to know who that I am before my Creator, before my Maker? Our instructors answer that question so simply. Out, they say, of the law of God. That is our second thought. That is, they point us to the source of the knowledge of our misery. You say, is that so difficult? Well, when you will listen, then there are people that say that we can learn that misery at the feet of Christ. We hope you do not listen to it, young people. They say that you must come to Christ to learn what your misery is. That is upside down. That is to mix the law and the gospel. We do not deny that it can be by some logical consequence, so that a man may hear for the first time in his life of Christ, and that he may be brought in his mind to ask wherefore that Christ is sent into the world. We do not deny that this is possible. We do not deny that there is an increase of the knowledge of sin, that there is an increase in the knowledge of the evil of sin by the revelation of the cross, when faith that is apprehending, when it is seeing, that price that Christ has paid for sin. No, we do not deny those things. But the question is, whence knowest thou thy misery? And the knowledge of our misery, that is, very properly speaking, just as our instructors do say it so simply, out of the law of God. And the Bible that is so clear about this, because the Apostle Paul, he also says it just as simply when he says that by the law is the knowledge of sin. Why? Because it is the law that makes something sin. Paul says, where no law is, there is no transgression. No law against it, I cannot sin against it. And then we have read also that Paul says, I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Thus, it is not by the gospel that a man is learning what his misery is. No, but it is out of the law of God. You say, what does the law have to do with misery? Well, misery is a consequence of the transgression of the law. If there was nothing but obedience to the law, then there would be no misery. Because attached to obedience of the law is a reward, is a blessed reward. Attached to obedience of the law is the reward of life. But there is something else that is attached to the disobedience, to the transgression of that law. And what is attached to that? That is punishment. And what is that punishment? That is death. The wages of sin is death. That threefold death, spiritual death, temporal death, eternal death. And included in this is also everything that is connected to death. That is all the affliction, all the pain, all the sorrow, all the disappointments, all the mourning that is in the midst of this world. That is all the result, that is all the consequence of the transgression of that law of God. There are those in this world that look upon all the misery in the world, and then they say there is no God. There cannot be a God. Because if there was a God, then God would never permit such misery in this world. Is it not so evidently just the opposite? Is not all that misery in this world such a clear evidence that there is a God? That God has a law, and that there has been transgression of His law, so that that curse is being endured in the midst of this world. The wages of sin, that is death. And what is death? Death is separation. That is spiritual death. That is separation from God. As our father Adam was sent out of that garden. Temporal death. That is a separation between the body and the soul. Those two most intimate friends. Eternal death. That is to be separated from God forever and forever. This congregation is the greatest misery of man. Why? Because we have been created in His image. And there was no other creature that was created by God and that was brought into communion with God as man was, as he was created in His image. There is no other creature that was created with the capability, as man was created in that image, of communing with God, united to Him. And thus it is the greatest misery of that creature who was given that greatest blessing amidst all the creatures of God, to be brought the closest to Him into an intimate communion. Or it is, we must say, the crown that is fallen from our heads. The greatest misery that we have now lost that blessed communion. But is that now experienced to be our misery? Thus, when we would ask, what is it that we, why is it that we consider ourselves to be so miserable? Then I think we can name so many things that we would like to change in our life, that we could change in this world. That you say, I would not have to have this in my life and that in my life. But is there now a people who say, oh, if I could only, if I could only come again into that blessed communion with God. Oh, that I could feel something of His favor. That He would speak unto my soul, and that I would be given the freedom also to speak unto Him, that there may be something of that blessed communion in which that I was created. Because if the Lord converts us, then there will come a missing in our life. Do we know that missing in our life? That is a missing for God. That is a missing of our Creator. When we cannot miss Him anymore, then young people, maybe you will be in a large family, 5, 10 children maybe. Maybe you have many, many friends. Then you will go over this world and you will feel so lonely. So lonely. Because in your heart then you will feel something is missing. And then you will experience something of the penalty. The penalty that is connected to that law of God for that disobedience. And then you will feel something of what that was. When Adam was sent out of that garden and that could not enter into that garden because of his sin. But then a man needs to learn something else. And what is that? That is the cause of that misery. What is the cause? Why? Why was Adam sent out of that garden? It was because of disobedience. And now that penalty that becomes so real in the life of a person. But then it is also the cause of that penalty that also becomes so real. It is so very natural. When Jonah was fast asleep in that ship, then we can read the mariners. When they experience that storm, and then they are looking for what? They are looking for the cause. For whose cause is all this come upon us? Did you ever look for the cause of all of the misery that you have to experience in this world? Did you ever look for the cause of that death, of that separation, that spiritual separation between God and your soul? Maybe you blame God. You say it is the decree of God that you blame predestination, but it is not the cause of our punishment. It is not the cause of our misery, because we read clearly in the Word of God that the cause of our misery is sin, and directly the wages of sin. That is a lesson, congregation, we cannot miss. We cannot miss that lesson between the cradle and the grave. How old are we? How long have we come under the truth? How long have we been reading the Holy Word of God? And do we still justify ourselves before God? That is a great mistake. That is actually a fatal mistake. That is actually what is standing in our way. Because the Lord says, only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against me, and that thou hast scattered thy ways among the strangers. Only acknowledge, if we may only acknowledge, then there is hope. As it was in the days when those brothers of Joseph said, we are verily guilty concerning our brother. So much had to happen to bring them to that place, to acknowledge their sin. That did not take place immediately. It was many, many years later. Because a man does not come there of himself, but he must be led to that place by the Lord. Even as Joseph was leading his brothers, that they may come to the confession of their own sin and to say, we are guilty. And Joseph, he was listening for it. He was waiting for it. Let us sing 83:2-3. While I kept guilty silence, my strength was spent with grief. Thy hand was heavy on me, my soul found no relief. But when I owned my trespass, my sin hid not from thee. When I confessed transgression, then thou forgavest me. 2 and 3 of Psalter 83.
Thank you.
congregation, we hear sometimes, I cannot convert myself. God has to do it. And so a man goes on, carrying out all his duties and responsibilities and the pleasures that he may do in this world. And so a man justifies himself in his unconverted state. And secretly in his heart, he casts all the blame for that state upon God Himself. What will it be to die in such a way? What will it be to meet our Maker, our Creator, and our Benefactor with such thoughts? Especially when we have been under that word our whole life long. Because the apostle says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Because he that will sow unto his flesh shall also of his flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, he shall reap of the Spirit life everlasting. And the Lord shows to us clearly in his word what is necessary for us. As our fathers lay it out for us, what is necessary to know that we may enjoy that true comfort and live and die happily. And the first thing we hear is that we need to come to know our misery. Thus, that is the first step. That is the beginning. And then we do a little house visitation this afternoon, that each one may give an answer in his own conscience before the Lord. Have we ever received this first primary knowledge, the knowledge of our misery? No? Why not? What is your answer? You see, the Lord, He has not yet converted me. That is what we say. What does the Lord say? The Lord says this. He says, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? And when wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. You say, I cannot do it. Is that not the work of God? Who taught you that? You have heard that so many times, and that is so very, very true. I hope that will become your only hope and your only expectation. Has it ever become so? It is so true. The Lord, He must give it. The Lord, He must do it. The Lord must give to me life. But the Lord has given to us means by which every man, every one of God's true children are receiving the prize. What does Paul say? He says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, and yet one receiveth the prize?" So run, he says, so run that ye may obtain. Do we so run? Then it will testify against us. This is the commandment of the Lord. You say there is nothing that we can do. Let us hear from our fathers whether this is true or no. Our fathers show us out of the Word of God what we need to know. And they show that to us step by step. But they do not only show us what we need to know, but they also show us how that we can receive it. How many things are necessary for thee to know? Misery, deliverance, gratitude. Whence knowest thou thy misery? Out of the law of God. And so we are directed. For that first knowledge, we are directed to the place where we can receive that primary knowledge, the lack of which is standing in our way. And where is it? Oh, we are directed to the law of God. You say, Paul in God's Word says, by the deeds of the law no man is justified. Oh, no. Then we are not sent to the law to be justified. No, far from it. When we would send you to the law to be justified, then you ought to throw us off of this pulpit. Because that is against that holy word of God which we are called to bring in your midst. But Paul also, we read together, says that that law that is holy, that law that is just, that law that is good, it is necessary. No, it cannot be for justification, but it is necessary for something else. It is necessary for the knowledge of our misery. And it is now the only place that we can get, that we can receive that primary knowledge, the knowledge of our misery. When the Lord Jesus perceived it lacking in that young ruler, he said, keep the commandments. Thou knowest the commandments. Thus he sent him to that law, that he may be given to know who that he was. And Paul, he says that that commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. That is, that he was instructed in the knowledge of his misery out of that law. And that sin, by the commandment, has become exceeding sinful. And that is why the Lord said to his servant, to Isaiah, cry aloud, to lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show to Israel, my people, their sins, and to Jacob their iniquities. Do you want to be converted? Our Father, show us what to do. Say, I can do nothing. Here is now something that we can do. Something that we can do that we may learn by the means God has given unto us, that primary knowledge, the lack of which is standing in the way of our eternal salvation. What is that? That is, go to the law. Go to the law. Take that law in your hands. It is the eternal law of God. It is required of each and every one of us. Take that law and realize that we are soon going to come before the judgment seat of God. And that is the law by which we will be judged. Take that law and feel and realize that we will not be standing before an earthly judge, but that we will be standing before the Lord of all the earth, the omniscient God, whose eye will pierce into our very heart and soul. Take that law and realize and perceive that there is nothing in our whole life, and that there is nothing within our heart, not the least thought, not the least motive in our heart against that law, that we will be able to hide before that great judge. But that we are going to stand naked before him with whom we have to do. It is coming for you and for me. Take that law. Take that law in your hands. There is something you can do. From the youngest to the oldest. And we can go from commandment to commandment. And we can go on our knees. And we can say, Lord, show me the standard. Show me the height of perfection that thou requirest of me out of thy holy law. As we can read it in God's word, whoso shall keep that whole law and yet shall offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Take that law and go from commandment to commandment and stop at every excuse that comes up in your heart. And know that there will be no excuses when we are standing before our great judge. Take that law and go from commandment to commandment and go back to the days of your youth. And say, oh, remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. Take that law and beseech the Lord to open unto you the penalty, the curse. The curse that is attached to the transgression of each one of the commandments of the Lord, because the wages of sin is death. Oh, seek. Seek to see what your wretchedness is. Seek to see what your misery is. Apart from God and steeped in that transgression of that law of God, that we may learn what the Apostle Paul has learned, how even after grace received, he had to say, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, seek to know the cause, that you may be found all sin, and that you may become guilty before God. Paul, he says, we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law. Why? That every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. Guilty before God. Guilty before God. Oh, that our mouth could be stopped, and that we could become guilty before God. This is the first knowledge. The knowledge of our misery. It cannot be missed. If we will know that only comfort, and that only happiness in life and in death. And this is the way wherein it can be received. And it will be our own judgment. If we have no desire to receive it, and we refuse to place ourselves under and in consideration of that law of God, and to acknowledge our sin, then that Savior, he shall be forever hid from our eyes, and we shall never become the object of all the blessed promises in that holy word of God. To such as confess their iniquity and their transgression before the Lord, even as David, who may then say, and thou forgavest my sin. Amen. O Lord of heaven and earth, grant us a place before thee. Show us our sin. Give us to go in our own place, because it is a personal matter. that is between thee and our soul. Oh, we have much to do with that law, but we push it all away. Oh, Lord, make us workers. Wilt thou grant us to become seekers, that we would be mourners, that we may become knockers, that we also may become finders. Look on us in the rest of this day, and wilt thou keep us from sinning against thee? Keep us from a sudden and an unprepared death in the week also that lies before us. And give us to set aside also time in this week, that we may examine ourselves in preparation for that holy supper. And wilt thou keep all that are afflicted and sick? Remember the young man in the hospital, and be with all that have serious diseases. In a special way, do visit them in thy mercy. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that was amiss this day. For Jesus' sake, amen. 41, 1, 3, 4, and 5. Most perfect is the law of God, restoring those that stray. His testimony is most sure, proclaiming wisdom's way. 1, 3, 4, and 5 of Psalm 41. blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.